Welcome to the Randstad Holding third quarter 2010 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'll now turn the call over to your host, Robert Jan van de Kraats, CFO. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call on the Q3 results of Randstad Holding. I'm here together with Ben Notenboom and Bart Giernot and some other very important members of our staff. And as usual, we first take you through a presentation elaborating on the third quarter results, and then we'll move to questions and answers. I'm going to use the presentation now, and I suggest that we flip to the second page, which is stating the definitions. And just to add one element, it says underlying EBITDA, just to note that for Q3 specifically, there is no underlying adjustment. There's only one for the first 9 months. Then I flip through to the page, the first page on performance, which is slide 5, and it's heading growth stabilization in our markets. A couple of comments to the left side of the page. The market growth has stabilized on average, which is a pretty healthy level. It also was stable through the quarter at the level of roughly 16% organic growth per working day. And we have also seen continued high growth in markets that have started to move early, such as the United States, where for the first time we have reported growth in the month of November last year. We see slow but steady improvements in lagging markets such as the Netherlands and the UK. We've seen it for a while, and that also continues into the third quarter. Important to note is that in the month of September, we did see some light growth in the Netherlands. And the administrative and professional segment have started to show improvements, especially in, for example, the US market. On the right-hand side, you do see on the top of the page the quarterly market growth. This is market, and on the bottom, it's the Randstad developments. Moving to page 6 now, slide 6, the continued strong growth. Revenues have amounted to 3.781 billion. Organic growth per working day, as I said, stable. Growth especially occurred in our in-house business. It moved to 55%. Professionals also showed an improvement to 8% now. The growth in staffing business remained at the level of 13%. And the clerical segments have started to improve. And this is the typical pattern that we have discussed more often in the past quarters. Coming out of a downturn, one would expect to see the industrial segment improving, then the clerical segment, and then the professional segment, including search and selection business. And we do see that trend in the market that started to recover early. The perm fees are up 24% organically, which compares to 16% in the previous quarter. The gross margin has been relatively flat since Q4 2009. The commercial pressure across the board has bottomed out, some exceptions still there. And the impact of the permanent placement fees is positive in Q3. It is now 8.5% of gross profit versus 7.3% in the same quarter of last year. Operating expenses sequentially up 3% versus the second quarter. And we have seen limited investments in FTEs in countries that show rapid growth, such as Germany, the U.S. We've also seen outlets increasing, and this is predominantly the case for in-house setups. The infrastructure has remained in place in countries where we do see lagging developments due to the fact that the payback period is considered to be too long. As a result of that, we have chosen to maintain the infrastructure. Costs are up 8% compared to the same quarter of last year, which is 7% organically. EBITDA came out at 153 million compared to 93 in the third quarter of last year, and the margin amounted to 4%. If one would exclude the impact of French business tax, it would be 3.8, and it compares to 2.9 in the third quarter of last year. Slide 7, some comments on the Dutch market. It's a late cyclical market recovering. One should note that the market did rather well during the downturn. It went down a little later. It didn't go down as much as the others. And consequently, the recovery is also a little later. Organic revenue for the quarter at 0% versus minus 5% in the second quarter of this year. Market growth improved slightly throughout Q3. I already mentioned that. The fact that we do see a late recovery is very much due to the fact that it's a business service-oriented economy, and the growth that we do see is driven by the industrial segment. Randstad and Tempo Team are slightly below the market, and that is due to, amongst other things, the low weight, the underweight in the industrial segment. And we do see some smaller dedicated players gaining market share in this segment. There's another reason, and that is that over the past quarters, we have seen some deals with aggressive pricing, and these we have let go. Yacht is gradually recovering, but it is still down for the quarter. Typically, when the Netherlands is late cyclical, for sure, the professional segment is even more late cyclical. And September, also in this operating company, is clearly better than the previous months. Gross margin sequentially up in the Netherlands, stabilization of commercial pressure, that's what we see as we speak. And we also have seen improved idle time development at Yacht through the quarter. Still not there, but the improvements are clearly contributing. The EBITDA margin came out at a very solid 6.8%, which compares to 7.1% last year, and it is the result of improved profitability at Randstad and Tempo Team. Slide 8, France, beating the market. We're very proud of the fact that having gone through a somewhat difficult phase due to reorganizations, integration, there's now clear signals that we are beating the market. Organic revenue growth was 19% in the third quarter, also reflecting the industrial nature of the French market. We have seen the outperformance compared to market, especially in the last month of the quarter in September. The professionals placement business is also up 18%. The professional segment is performing stronger, and we have added 2 in-house locations and 5 transfers from the regular staffing business. And this is not by any means the end. We're still going to go through many more of those. Gross margin is sequentially down. This is the market where we do see some continued commercial pressure. We have a continued focus, of course, on the cost structure. But the distribution across the country, the distribution of growth across the country does require some investments in corporate employees to be able to serve that growth from those locations. EBITDA came out at 3.7 versus 0.9 last year, and I already mentioned it, the impact of the French business tax is 10.6 million. So it is effectively a reclassification from gross profit into the corporate tax line. Excluding this amount, it would be 2.5% EBITDA margin. The French subsidy system will change. The impact is anticipated to be very limited. Overall, I think there's one thing to note, and that is that our market share is improving following a recent rebranding in the French market, which has clearly contributed. The subsidy system that I just mentioned, the anticipated impact that I was referring to, is considered to be very limited relative to the overall group performance. Germany, on the next slide, 9. We do see persistence of strong outperformance. It is impressive to grow the company by 40% if you look at the revenue base, which for the third quarter is arriving close to 500 million. It also is very strong outperformance of the market. We do see a slightly easing growth trend towards the end of the quarter due to a seasonal pattern. But I think we should also know that 40% is quite a performance. Gross margin has sequentially improved. The price increases as a result of the update of the collective labor agreement are accepted across the board. And moreover, in the professional segment in Germany, we do see idle time improving. We also see mixed performance in that professional segment. IT does continue to accelerate further, but engineer, although this idle time is managed slightly better, continues to be difficult, especially in the aerospace segment. All together, this is stable. This business is stable during the quarter. The EBITDA margin arrived at a very impressive 6.9% compared to 5.4% last year. And we do see strong operating leverage, but investments in people in high growth areas. We also have increased the number of brands, especially for the second brand in the German market, which is Team BS, and it is using the Tempo Team house style for efficiency reasons. So also that is a kind of leverage. Oh, I mentioned outlets as an increase, not the brands, of course. The U.K., we do see continued growth despite challenging conditions in that market. It's a difficult market, and our exposure towards the public sector is relatively significant. It's one of the two markets where we really see the impact of this. Organic revenue came out at 9% in the third quarter, which compares to 1% in the second quarter. In-house continue to gain market share in this market, and we do have a strong pipeline of new clients. And also the increased share at existing clients is helpful here. The professional business, which is a significant part of our business in the UK, is a reflection of the diversified end markets. We do see continued gross profit growth in engineering and finance, in ICT, media and HR. But as I already mentioned at the beginning, healthcare, education are affected by reduction, but also by the seasonal pattern during the third quarter. Typically, education suffers in the third quarter. Permanent placement fees are up 34%, which compares to a 15% increase in Q4. So that is improving as well. And EBITDA margin came out at 1.2% now, compared to a very tiny loss last year. And also, in the UK market, we are going through a substantial rebranding effort. A very serious campaign that is catching the eye, as we hear, and you might well have noticed that City Airport, when you arrive, you see Randstad all over the place. Slide 11, North America, firing on all cylinders. Organic revenue now at 23%, and it is the extended outperformance of the U.S. and the Canadian market. Growth of U.S. staffing and in-house remains strong. It's 30%. In the third quarter, but also the professional business has contributed to relevant growth, 17% now, and predominantly driven by ICT and finance. Canada is up 18% in the third quarter, and permanent placement fees are also up 18% in North America. The gross margin has sequentially improved. The change of the business mix in staffing contributes to that, more clerical business. And also the subsidies under the Hire Act have been helpful here. What we also do see is continued good leverage, cost management. We have an increase in people because, as you can see in our productivity analysis, productivity has really increased. So we have now started to select to increase the number of people within existing branches. And also commissions and bonuses have contributed to some cost increase. The EBITDA margin now came out at 3.8%. And that compares to 2.5. Also, one should note that in the U.S. markets, the SUI charges, the impact of SUI charges is slightly less in the third quarter due to the fact that most of that impact, because there's a threshold, most of that impact comes in the first and the second quarter. Then on slide 12, some indications of revenue development per industry segment. Well, as you can see, across the board, manufacturing is doing very well in these countries, automotive as well. Food is also mostly a successful sector. It all has to be transported, so that's what we also do recognize. As you can see, financial services is also improving in many markets, but not yet everywhere. And then at the very bottom, public admin and health and social work. These sectors are typically a bit more difficult when we serve those sectors. And please note that mostly in countries where the public sector is not a territory where we have a significant position, but in the Netherlands and in the UK, it is a relevant sector for us. Then I'm moving to slide 14 for some elaborations on the financial results, and it repeats the growth rate again, the gross margin, stable since Q4 09. The underlying expenses again up 3%, very little impact, by the way, from currency. EBITDA improved by 64% to 153 million. The effective tax rate stands at 29%, and the diluted EPS up 40% from 42 cents to 59. Then adding a couple of balance sheet related points or cash flow, moving average DSO improved again one day now to 56 days. Then we have the free cash flow of the quarter arriving at 173 million compared to 359 million last year. One should note that there was a substantial effect of tax refund in last year. Also worth to mention here is that the VAT delay, which has a benefit for us of 80 million, will be structural now. So in the past, in the Netherlands, one had to pay VAT on a monthly basis. That was due to the crisis delay to quarterly, and that will now be structural going forward. Net debt amounted to 947 million euros, and that reflects a leverage ratio of 1.8, well below the 2.0, which we have set ourselves as an internal ambition. With the banks, the limit for the leverage ratio stands at 3.5. And the interest rate currently amounts to, or the interest in total amounts to 1.25%. Well, the income statement is repeated on the next slide, which is slide 16. And I think I have addressed more or less all the points here. There is an increase in the amortization line, which is the result of the fact that we have increased the amortization of brands due to the accelerated integration, especially in the UK. On the next slide, the gross margin development in Q3, 18.8 in the third quarter of last year, 18.5 in the third quarter of this year, and it includes 0.3 impact from the French tax, as you can see. The temp margin, the first blue box, 0.4% impact, it contains the geographical mix, but also the business mix in terms of industrial and clerical business. And also Yacht has some impact here. So I think this is very much in line also with the development we have seen in previous quarters. The permanent placement fees in the first quarter, in the second quarter were 9.2% of gross profit. Now it's 8.5%. That's due to the growth of the other business. But our highest point in terms of gross profit as a share, permanent placement fees as a share of gross profit was 12.2%, just as a reference, in the first quarter of 2008. The amount of working days in this quarter was roughly equal to last year. The productivity development, I referred to it already on slide 18. As you can see in the US, which is the line, the top line, we do see productivity levels that we have not seen over the last couple of years, clearly reflecting the efficiency coming from, amongst others, unit steering. The green line is the German business, and the orange line is the Dutch business, and I think the conclusion is clear here. We still have some way to go, but Germany is moving up very rapidly. Again, and a slide on 19 on productivity development, but this time we're looking at the gross profit development per FTE for the period from 1998 onwards, and it is clear that one should adjust here for inflation, and then still we have some way to go. The consolidated balance sheet, not much to say about it. The intangible assets and the other assets, which is the receivables, are the main component here. The financing of Randstad on the liability side, and please note that the financing runs into 2013, so we're currently not working on any kind of refinancing, certainly not given the very attractive interest rates. The consolidated cash flow statement, again repeated here, please note that in the cash flow from operations before operating working capital, it includes the VAT of last year in the 214, and the 157 last year included the corporate tax refund, which will be repaid in 2012 at the latest. The VAT, already made the point, will be structural. Our investments in property and plant and equipment software are 18 million in this quarter, very much in line with what we have discussed in previous quarters. So all of this resulted in a net debt reduction of $195 million, bringing the net debt to almost $950 million. Slide 22 is included because it repeats the priorities, but I'm not going to elaborate on it now. And then we're getting to the outlook. And before I do that, I wanted to share with you the exit rates in the month of September. In the Netherlands, the exit rate is 2% growth. In France, 19. In Germany, 37. In Belgium, Luxembourg, together, 17%. In the UK, the exit rate came out at 10%. In Iberia, at plus 5. And in North America, the exit rate was 22% for the combined business. The number of working days in the fourth quarter will also be roughly equal, but Christmas is going to be in the weekend, so the impact is always uncertain of these last 2 weeks of the year. So in Q3, we did see stable organic growth of 16% during the quarter, in-house and staffing showing very robust growth, the professional segment clearly picking up, so it has been strengthened, and these positive trends persisted in the month of October, and we do expect to see healthy growth in the next quarter in all segments based on the trends that we have seen so far. And then finally, on slide 24, again, a reminder, we'll have our Analyst and Investor Day 2010 in London on the 24th and the 25th of November. That completes the presentation, the elaboration on the facts. We're now moving to questions and answers, and I'm handing back to the operator.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the hash key or the pound sign. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Our first question comes from T&T Wiese from ABM AMRO.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. I assume I have only two questions, so I will stick to that.
Thank you.
First of all, on the gross margin, can you indicate what the pricing impact will be going forward? Because you mentioned the 40 basis points pressure. Can you indicate what the impact will be in the coming quarters of that? Will that increase?
No, I don't think so, Tony. I think we have made that point before that we do see this easing.
Okay, because it seems like the impact is now becoming more visible than it has been in previous quarters, although those volume contracts have already been closed before.
Oh, but it's mixed then, because we sell more in blue collar, obviously, which has a lower gross margin. You also see the highest growth in in-house, which has the lowest gross margin. So it's not a price pressure, it's a mix effect.
Okay, all right. And then a second question is a more general one on cost control, because there is some gross margin pressure, whether it is pricing or mix effect. But to achieve your 50% gross profit conversion into EBITA, what will your actions on the cost side be going forward, so say for 2011?
It's very simple, it's unit steering. Obviously, in companies where we reach, let's say, capacity, the returns will be equal to the average EBITDA we generate. So like in Germany, where we are growing in some areas, we've been growing a lot, for example, Eastern Germany. There, of course, we have to add people, so costs will go up. And in other areas where we still have capacity left, we'll first fill up the capacity according to our unit steering, which, by the way, we are re-emphasizing in the company more and more, and all the opcos we have. And that's how we're going to run it. As we've always done that turn, it's almost boring, but it works.
Okay, but if unit steering would have been perfect, then you wouldn't have any excess capacity, right?
No, that's not true, because we said that we would maintain our network as much as we could afford to. And we consciously made a choice to maintain a network and keep our branches open. Because, again, leaving markets is a lot more costly. So I disagree there.
Okay, but would it be fair to assume then that initially you can get a clearly higher than 50% conversion?
Oh yes, that's what we see in certain countries, of course. But if you look at cost development, there's always three phases. The first phase is that we use the existing people much more efficiently, so we leverage that. The second phase is that we are adding people to the existing setup, so within the existing branches, and only then you get to phase three, which is adding branches, And at the very end of it, it's expanding the back office.
Okay, and then one slight follow-up.
Let's take the others first.
Actually, it was one remark Ben made on emphasizing more on unit steering. Can he explain a bit more what he means by that?
Yeah, sure. We have a lot of operating companies. We've been integrating. And the next phase, of course, is as always, is fine-tuning your operational methodologies. And the most important one is unit steering. So if you think about all the other companies we have in the group now, everybody is getting more and more used to it, and we're helping them to improve actually their capability to be able to do that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Toby Reeks from Bank of America.
Morning, guys. Could I ask you to repeat the exit rates as you rattled through them quite quickly? I didn't get them all down, and I'm hoping that doesn't take up one of my questions.
Yes, for sure we can. And the rates were for the Netherlands 2%, for France 19%, for Germany 37%, for Belgium 17%, for the UK 10%, Iberia 5%, and North America 22%. So your second question, please.
Thank you. As I understand it, you've probably got about 6 to 8 weeks of visibility going forward. You guys aren't at all worried, I guess, as we're coming up against the much tougher comps in sort of November and December. Judging from your outlook statement, it doesn't seem to be something that you think you won't be able to grow quite strongly against. Is that the right way to interpret that?
Yeah, again, the visibility is the average duration of orders. Obviously, trends don't change overnight, and they usually have a more reliable predictability than 6 weeks. So we'd be very disappointed if the market would turn within this quarter.
So you have got visibility over.
Again,
what do you say?
We just shared with you the trends, so that's what we see. And again, the trends don't usually change that fast.
Okay, cool. Thanks very much, guys.
Our next question comes from Mark Zwartsenburg from ING.
Yes, good morning, everyone. First of all, a question on the Netherlands. Can you give us any indication of the impact Yacht had on your group gross margin and how that idle time has developed through the quarter and what it now is, so that we can have a feel for what the impact on the swing factor for your gross margin will be from that area? And then following up on that, you mentioned also seeing some aggressive tendering in the Netherlands and that you did not participate or let go of those contracts. Were you referring to, say, the period as of last year in Q3 when that started, or were you also referring to the last quarters of Q3? That on the Netherlands.
Could you repeat the last question, Mark?
Yeah, you mentioned some aggressive tendering in the Dutch market, that you walked away from some contracts there, that had an impact on your sales line. But I was not sure whether you were referring to, say, the trend already, which started already last year in Q3, when you mentioned that there was an aggressive step down in gross margin analysis, or were you referring also to Q3, so the latest quarter?
No, we refer to in the past, mainly, yeah.
So that is not continuing, that aggressive tendering?
Yeah, and some big tenders, but most of them actually, contracts have been renewed, so it is fairly quiet if you look at the number of tenders we have today.
Okay.
And your question on the impact of Yacht on the temp margin, it's the box is 0.4, and roughly 25% of that, or 10 basis points, is the result of Yacht.
And the idle time issue, that has been solved now, or...?
No, that is something we are solving, and this goes step by step, but I think we have made a significant step forward again.
But there are no charges in the Q3 in the Netherlands in the EBIT?
Correct.
All right. And then my second question on SG&A for the group. You had 545 for the quarter. You had a bit of a step down quarter on quarter. What should we expect going for, looking for, to Q4? Should we expect, say, a similar level for Q4? Can you give us any guidance on that one?
What we can say, Mark, is the following, that in Q2, as always, you know, if you start running the year and one is performing above budget, then the bonuses are being accumulated. That's what we did in Q2. And that when you get to the maximum levels, that doesn't have any impact anymore on Q3 and 4. So that will also be the same for Q4. But Ben already mentioned we'll continue to add people in the countries where we are growing rapidly.
OK. Okay, so we should, from that I should take that it will be slightly up again in Q4 despite seasonal stronger Q3.
Yeah, it should be because we are growing in certain markets where we have exceeded our productivity targets.
Okay.
And it's all indicated by the unit steering system, huh?
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe a final one on France on the subsidy. You mentioned the limited impact. So, what is your visibility on that then? That you can say that it's limited? Because I can remember that the low wage worker subsidy, has quite a substantial impact on your French margin. That is quite sizable. So, do you have any visibility what the actions will be then there?
Yeah. Not exactly. We're trying to mitigate the effect. Because, of course, everybody nowadays, every government wants to maintain as much jobs as they can afford to. We are, as an industry, an important instrument to keep those jobs. So we try to mitigate the effect a bit too. The rules of engagement usually need to be agreed with governments, which could have an effect. Three, if really something would happen, everybody would have to go to market to compensate for that. And four, it also depends. The total effect also depends on the mix we're going to see, and as professionals is growing, etc. So that also has an effect. So in that total basket, if you look at our total returns for the group, that the impact is not going to be that big.
But that's an assessment. There's no detail yet on the outcome of this rule.
No, exactly. But even with rather conservative assumptions. Again, for the total group I'm talking about here, the expected returns, which I see in you guys' numbers, the impact is going to be limited.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Aaron Rambokus from Kempen.
Morning, gentlemen. Two questions. First of all, on the Dutch market, what kind of trends are you seeing in white-collar staffing throughout the quarter? And can you update us on when you think you will be able to close the gap to the market? I believe you made some statements on that in the second quarter. Maybe you can repeat that. Second question is on Germany. In Q3, you report an approximately 7% EBIT margin on a revenue base of 500 million euros. If I look back at my historical data, I believe in 2007-2008 you had an EBIT margin which was 200-300 bips higher on a similar revenue base. So what's going on there with the profitability? Why is profitability lower despite a similar revenue base? Thanks.
Yeah, Dutch market, I mean, we all follow the ABU numbers, which of course I think we shouldn't take too literally every 4 weeks, but the trend is obvious. You see that the technical market and the industrial market is growing. We see clerical improving. So the trends are clear. We said that we would be at market. It usually takes about two, sometimes three quarters to fix, and we still are of that opinion. We're getting closer and closer to market, so I'm pretty optimistic on that. 0.2 or 0.3% less return, of course, is something has to do with the sequence in recovery. The biggest recovery, for sure, if you look at the growth in our in-house, is tremendous. So that's the lower margin business, which gives a slightly lower return. But if we would be able, for a long period of time, to maintain returns at about, let's say, this level, then we would not be too sad about that.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from David Arieu from Rabobank.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. David here. Two questions. First of all, in the US, I see slightly lower growth in Q3 in perm and staffing in-house. Underlying, is there still sequential growth? And then secondly, maybe on your guidance, the outlook, does it implicitly mean that, let's say, starting November, December, you expect slightly lower growth on group level, given the comparison base, despite the improvements in the Netherlands? Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to take your second question first, David. I think that is a fair assumption. We're comparing against last year, in which the decline moved from minus 26 in September to minus 13 in December.
And through the quarter for staffing and in-house, there is still sequential growth, although of course the increase is slowing down.
And that's the same for perm in the US?
Same for perm, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Because that's more driven by professionals, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, Q3 is not a real big quarter in perm.
No, exactly.
So, I mean, the trend doesn't say that much for the moment.
For the perm, yeah.
So it could be an upswing again, for example, in Q4?
Could be.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from Olivier Lebrant from Natixis.
Good morning, Olivier Lebrant, Natixis. Two questions, if I may. About Netherlands, did the in-house services show an outperformance in the Netherlands compared to the flat performance of the country in Q3?
Yes,
it
did.
Could you give some figures?
We have indicated for the group that in-house is growing by 55%,
yes.
And our Dutch in-house business is a substantial part of that. So I think that is a clear indication of what's happening there.
Okay. And my second question relates to Germany. Could you give us an idea of the idle time level in this country in Q3, please?
Yeah, that is has reduced, as I mentioned it, but still not at the level it has been 2 to 3 years ago. And that is exactly also the point that Arun Rambocus made, that Germany is performing slightly below the peak levels a couple of years ago. It's the mix and idle time, but I would say idle time is not considered to be a very significant issue, but in the aerospace business, we still are fighting with it.
And a last question, if I may. In France, what proportion of sales does the in-house services represent in Q3?
It's still a single-digit number.
Single-digit number.
Okay. Yeah. It means too little.
Okay. And could you give us an idea of your target in this matter?
The average of all markets, it's about the potential market for in-house is about 15%.
15% in France, okay.
But that's again for all markets. In France, it might even be higher because in the mix, there's more business to that. The in-house growth in Holland, by the way, I looked up the number, is in the 20%.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Tish Berkelder from Peter Kam.
Yeah, thank you. Two questions. First, on the productivity development, you're showing, let's say, the good countries, Netherlands, Germany and US, but I'm missing the UK. Also, when looking at unit steering model, I would say, why not be more aggressive in what you're targeting there? Why not cut more in corporate staff or in outlets when looking at the difference with other countries? Second question, rebranding expenses. We're seeing somewhere, let's say, 1 million expenditures extra in Iberia. What is the number there for the UK, for instance?
The reason we are not cutting is because these are basically healthy businesses. We have a temporary dip in market. We're not going to destroy our infrastructure just because of that, because we are in this market to stay, as you know. If you look at profitability, actually, it's not so bad in the UK. It's not good enough for sure, but it's professional segment where it has to come from. If you look at our productivity in-house, it's amongst the top two performers in the group, so we don't see any reason to aggressively cut costs there. We think the market will recover in time, and we will benefit from that.
And as we mentioned, the rebranding in Iberia, 1 million. The cost in the UK are just below that. But you should know that this is, of course, timing issues. We expect to see some more of that in the fourth quarter.
But in general, rebranding expenses then in Q4 versus Q3, are you increasing?
Yeah, but it's a limited amount in the total scale of things. It's just a few million in total. And it very often replaces normal marketing expenses. We're trying to do that in a smart manner, of course.
Okay, clear.
And on top of that, in the UK, of course, the idea is if you combine a lot of companies, you combine budgets. So instead of having many, many small budgets, we have one big one to promote the brand. And that, of course, is economies of scale. That has a positive effect on sales. And the effect on your cost level is limited. That's obvious, huh?
Yeah, clear.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Jamie Brandwood from UBS.
Morning. Two questions, if I could. Firstly, on a global basis, looking at professional and looking at perm, so the 8% growth that you saw in professional, the 24% growth that you saw in perm, could you give us the exit rates and highlight countries where the momentum in those two areas is quite strong? And then the second question is, I notice you're still cutting branches, or at least outlets, in France. We've been hearing the same thing from Adecco. You know, they gave numbers at their investor day which suggested they're also still cutting branches in France through 2010. What's going on there? What's the plan? To continue to cut, or do we get to a stable level of branches at some point?
No, in France, the main reason for the reduction is the fact that we sold Cellpro.
Okay.
So we're for sure not aggressively cutting branches. The global trends, we're not going to give you the detailed exit rate. What we can share is the obvious thing. If you look at the growth rates of professionals in North America, which is the first market to recover, as you know, and we see the same happening in all markets. So the sequence of recovery, the sequence of recovery in market gets translated in the same sequence of recovery in professionals. So, for example, of course, US doing very, very well. France is doing very well. IT in Germany is doing very well. A number of the businesses in the UK are doing very well, but again, the ones that are related to public spending are low. So I think it is the obvious suspect where you would expect the next hike in revenues. And of course, the Netherlands is still down.
But it's probably fair to say that 8% was double digits as you exited the quarter. Would that be fair, or?
Yeah, we shouldn't get into that much detail, I think.
Okay. And then on the perm side, I mean, there was an earlier question about a little bit of loss of momentum in U.S. perm. You know, is that 24% at a group level also slowing down, or are there other areas which are accelerating still on perm?
We don't recognize that trend.
Sorry, so there's acceleration elsewhere, or?
On total, it's getting better.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Wim Gille from RBS.
Yeah, good morning, gents. Wim Gille from Royal Bank Scotland. Two questions. First of all, you showed quite a good growth in in-house. Can you give us a bit of feeling what portion of that growth was driven by client wins, what portion was driven by growth at existing clients, and what portion is related to the shift from staffing to in-house, or from regular branches to in-house? And the second question would be on, let's say, the government exposure in primarily the UK and the Netherlands. What portion of revenue is, roughly speaking, related to government kind of work?
In-house, the biggest gains are from existing clients stepping up activity again. I'm not sure the exact difference between transfers and new clients, but we also have quite a number of new client gains. So all in all, business for sure has a lot of extra growth, if you want, compared to where we came from.
Yeah, maybe to add, I mean, if you look at the transfers in France, it is an amount of more than 20 million. So that adds close to 7% already to the total growth in-house. So, I mean, it is substantial.
The exposure to the government sector in the UK has been indicated by us to be around 30%, and in the Netherlands it's between 10 and 15%. And then one should note that most of that is in the local governments. And as a result of recent trends, it's getting less rather than more. But again, it's mostly at local governments where our people are very often the ones that are serving the clients instead of managing the government.
Yeah, and maybe one thing to add, we should be careful in looking at that number because, for example, one of the big clients in Holland are the tax authorities here. Every year, before the 1st of April, every Dutchman has to fill in his tax papers and they have to be checked. No way are they going to save money on flexible labor there, because without that they can't cash the taxes. So you have to differentiate what sort of activities in order to be able to judge the effect on total revenue.
Okay, many thanks.
Our next question comes from Bruce Hubbard from O'Day Asset Management.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just the one question. Forgive me if I misheard, but I don't think I've heard you say an exit rate for the group. You've given us seven geographic regions. I'm afraid the mental arithmetic arithmetic defeats me. Can you tell me what the group exit rate was, please?
We mentioned to you that growth has been stable through the quarter, so that brings it to 16.
Thank you very much. And therefore, when you say those trends persisted, you are effectively saying that October is the same.
Yeah, October isn't finished yet, but what we said is indeed what we've seen so far, that's in line with about the same trends as we've seen before.
Brilliant, thanks.
Our next question comes from Sajiv Kumar from HSBC.
Morning, gents. Quickly, how has time to hire progressed in this quarter compared with the previous one? Could you give us a sense on that?
Are you referring to our own staff or to flex staff?
Time to hire for your customers in the perm side.
That has not changed.
It hasn't changed.
No, we'll do it in a minute sometimes, and sometimes it takes 2 weeks. Depends on the segment we're in.
Okay, and how about idle time? Have it improved quarter on quarter? I think you said it did.
Yeah, correct. It did, both in the Netherlands and in Germany.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Tian Tewisa, which is back online with a question.
Yes, gents. I have a few questions more than two. And that's on Fuji stuff.
You already had five, Tian.
Sorry?
You already had five, but okay.
No, this one is just on Fuji stuff. Can you indicate what the sales and EBITDA contribution has been in the third quarter and what more charges we can expect going forward?
Zero?
You're correct. The consolidation will start us from the 20th of October, and we've just absorbed some transaction costs, which we have mentioned as well, just a bit more than €1 million. The new accounting rules are enforcing us to absorb the transaction cost as they occur, and that means we might have some more in Q4.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mark Satzenberg is from ING. ING is back online with a question.
Yes, also a follow-up from my side. First of all, Robert-Jan, can you maybe give us an update on your view or your strategy with regards to interest? Are you going to lock in the low interest, or what are you going to do there for 2011, please?
We are very happy that our policy has proven to be the right one, and we believe that's the right foundation to continue it into the future, so no changes.
No changes. And then the final one, just on the cash flow, you mentioned, if I'm correct, the €85 million, the VAT is being now structural.
Correct.
And then you have repayment of €125 million. Is that correct in 2012?
No, €150 million in 2012.
$150 million.
At the latest, we said. It's triggered by certain criteria, but the knowledge we have today puts that in 2012.
Okay. That's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Hancock from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, yeah, good morning. Just one from me, please. I just wanted to clarify the point around the comps getting tougher during the fourth quarter. I appreciate that Q3 09 was sort of minus 28% and Q4 09 only minus 17%. But wasn't that largely due to the prior year comparative for that period? So if I look at the two-year cumulative rate, it's about minus 30 in Q3 and Q4, and the absolute level of revenue in Q3 09 and Q4 09 were also quite similar. So just how much tougher is the comp on a sort of underlying basis in Q4, please?
Again, since we've adapted the organization to the actual levels, and also the activity in the market has gone down that much, you are absolutely right that if you go 2 or even better 3 years back, then the numbers look fantastic, but we still have to absorb and get the extra growth in the market. So that's why it's a bit tougher. But we're not panicking, yeah? We're not panicking.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Mark Satzenberg from ING is back online with a question.
Yeah, sorry guys, follow up again. Now we're talking about comms, etc. again. Could you maybe give us the trend month on month from October? You say the trend is stable versus September, but is it also month on month still stable or week by week? Is that trend also stable in absolute numbers?
Well, again, I think we shared what we could possibly share, Mark. We're a couple of weeks into October. We've seen the results. We shared that the trends are continuing as we saw them. I think that Jonas should do.
Yeah, maybe what we mean with the trends continuing, of course, is that we have seen a bit of slowdown in the growth rate in Germany and in the U.S. Well, that might well continue, and we see some strengthening in the Netherlands, and that might well continue as well. So, I mean, that's what we mean with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I think this should be the last question, operator.
We have no further questions at this time.
Perfect. Well, we very much appreciate sharing the results with you, and we are looking forward to meet you again late November at the Analyst and Investor Day. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating.